Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, which is presented to you by Power Planter Earth Augers, the official digging tool. To find the right size for your digging project, visit powerplanter.com. Now here are your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
Welcome back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. We appreciate you being part of the program today. If you've got a question, we've got an answer. You can get a hold of us a couple of different ways. One being gardentalkradio@gmail.com. You can just send us an email over and we will get you an answer back. You can also give us a call right now or anytime at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-SHOW. We make it easy for you to remember so you can have access to us 24/7, 365. If we can't get to you right now, leave us the question. We'll call you back. We had a number of questions come in this week. We will start with Scott here. This is my second year. My Amish paste tomatoes have been disaster. Last year, the rain made them bust and rot on the vine. This year, even the gold ones, even the good ones are rotting from the inside. My German pink tomatoes are big and wonderful. I'm in the city of Milwaukee. Any advice on what's going on?
Sure. So this is because of inconsistent watering. And so a lot of times...
And it affects different tomatoes differently. That's why certain ones that he has are doing phenomenal.
Right. So it's the Amish paste, which is a more... It's not... I don't think it's an heirloom variety, but it's kind of close to heirloom variety.
Yeah, it's an heirloom. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
It is an heirloom. Heirloom varieties typically have more of this issue than non-heirloom varieties. And so what happens is that you water your tomatoes, maybe you get a drought or like a few string of days or a week or more where you don't have a lot of rain, and then you get some heavy rain that's going to cause them to grow fast and blow out.
Too much water. When there hasn't been any water, too much goes into the tomato and the skins can't catch up with that. And we've had tomatoes on the vine before we consistently watered it looked like somebody just cut the inside of it out and left the skins hanging there. Now also the problem with the internal rotting, again, that's blossom end rot that's not fully developing on the external portions because that inconsistent watering can't get enough calcium, to pick up in the soil, because the soil is too dry. It locks it up. So that would be the issue and that would be the problem. So we want to water regularly, invest in an irrigation system. Dripworks.com has a phenomenal system and systems in which you can hook up manually, timers, Wi-Fi timers, digital program timers. They've got a lot of different things over there. So, an investment of a drip irrigation makes a tremendous difference when to your garden. It's well worth the investment.
Right.
Let's see, here's another one. My lawn has multiple brown spots. I initially thought the grass was just becoming dormant due to our weather conditions of being dry. After several heavy rains, there was no change in the color of the grass. The grass remained dry, and when I rake it with a garden rake, it pulls out of the ground. I do not think this is a matter of dormancy. Do you have any ideas? Joe asked.
Well, unfortunately, Joe, it sounds like you have grubs. And so grubs are basically a larvae that's eating the roots of your grass, and that's why when you rake it, it just pulls up dead grass.
And different patches that does this. It's so what are some options? And I know when we when there's a many when we did some research on this, there's many different steps into accomplishing the removal of the grubs.
Right. So you can definitely do your own research on this if you want to find an alternative to what we're saying here. But one thing that's going to work a little bit faster than all of the rest is using nematodes. And so what nematodes are they're little tiny microscopic worms. Those nematodes will get rid of the grubs, and then that's going to help your grass. But if you do use nematodes, you have to follow directions. Like one is that the lawn always needs to be well watered, and the nematodes need to be alive when you apply them.
Right.
So you're going to get live nematodes. You need to make sure that they are alive.
You get them from a reputable source, not somebody you bought them on sale on the internet.
Uncle Joe's nematode shop or something.
Yeah, something like that. But if you're going to invest, you want to make sure you do this correctly, and there's multiple steps. But if you're having patches of grass that are going dormant in the middle of the summer, it's certainly not the grass's problem. It's the
unless
the,
I mean, unless you have a drought.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, there are chemical applications that you can use, but the nematodes they seem to do well. And then there's also something called milky spores that you can apply, but that takes longer.
Right. But if you want your grass to look good, you can always just purchase Pearl's Premium Ultra Low Maintenance Lawn Seed. It works well. For that, you can use coupon code Joey, J-O-E-Y-20, and save 20% on your checkout at pearlpremium.com. And you only have to cut your grass once every 4 to 6 weeks instead of weekly. And this takes care of a lot of the problems that your lawn typically has. Let's see here.
Okay, so, another question is about when should the spring onion start growing the flowers? Does it have to be a certain amount of years old? And after I plant the spring onions, I got from the store by taking the root part.
Okay, so here's a couple of things you need to know. Onions and leeks, we'll categorize both of them, are biennials. That means you planted them in spring of, the spring of the year, and you let them grow until the fall of the next year. So you've gone 18 months roughly, and about 15, 16 months into the growth cycle, the seed pods will begin to develop. Halfway in the spring of the next year, you'll start to see a very tall vertical growth. A flower will begin to, or a bulb will begin to appear on the top of the flower, on the top of the stem of the onion and leek. You let that go until fall, and then you're going to have multiple black seeds inside of there. That's when the flower and the seeds will be ready to harvest. Now, the problem with getting an onion from the store and planting it, is that you do not know what day length that onion is. Onions fall in a category of short, mid, and long day varieties. Long day in the north, neutral or midday in the central portions of the United States, and short day in the southern part. So if you get an onion from the southern portions of the United States in your grocery store and you live in the north, I don't know where they ship from, I'm just telling you how this would work, and you try to, and you plant that, yeah, you're going to get seeds. It's going to produce seeds. However, it's not, when you plant those seeds the next year, it's not going to grow a bulb. It's just going to do top growth. And even people who grow seed in their garden each year, we still are teaching them that there is a thing called long day, short day, neutral day, because they just grab a variety of onions. They don't know what that means, or that it's not even labeled, and they just plant it, and they get frustrated each year because the onion does not bulb. Well, it's because you're growing the wrong day length type of onion in your geographical area. So you want to be aware of that when you're saving seeds on onions. Leeks, it doesn't matter. You can grow a leek in Brazil to Canada to the UK. It doesn't matter. It's going to grow. Onions, however, the bulb development dictates what day length variety that onion type is.
Right. So next question we have here is, topping tomatoes, what do you recommend? Do you cut the top or the leader stem or just the flowers? How long before frost do you do that? Are there any other crops I should do this to? Thank you. I love listening to you guys and appreciate all your work. I heard about it from a friend. Wasn't sure if it was a gardening myth or not. I thought I better ask Joey and Holly because they would know the truth.
Okay. Catherine. Well, we appreciate that, Catherine. The tomatoes, well, Brussels sprouts, you can top the Brussels sprouts about 45 days, before you intend to harvest, or when you begin to see the nodes developing on the joints of the Brussels sprout that will soon be the sprout. But we'll focus on tomatoes here. Tomatoes from flower to fruit based on cherry or beefsteak or large steak is 20 to 30 days. So you really want to do this about 45 days out, what I'm about to explain to you, before the frost, your average first frost. Obviously, that can be changed very rapidly, either sooner or later. But 45 days out, you want to top the growth tips. Yeah, you're going to cut off some of the flowers. You want to top it. Where you see the extension of the growth vertical, that's where you want to cut it off. You also want to stop watering if you can. Obviously, when it rains, you can't control that. But if you're on an irrigation system, stop the watering. And then also, you can take a shovel and go 6 inches outside, find the stem, and then go 6 inches out away from the stem and go straight down with your shovel 3/4 of the way around the root system. That will cut off a lot of the roots and put that plant in a stress mechanism, response. and it will rapidly produce the fruit that is currently on the vine. So you can get red tomatoes before frost, or ripe tomatoes, whether yellow, white, purple, blue, whatever the case is, before frost, so you're not harvesting green tomatoes the day or the night before, and then you got to bring them in and try to ripen them that way. So top the tomatoes, chop the roots 3/4 of the way around, 6 inches away from the stem, and shut the water off on them if possible. And that will help you get ripe tomatoes before frost, and we appreciate
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.